Grace and peace to you. We gather together today in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another. Surely God is in this virtual place with us as we worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Holy God, source of all beauty and goodness, your grace comes fresh every morning. In each new day, you give us light. We praise you for your never-failing love that satisfies our needs and shows us the way to follow. We rejoice in your constant care, for you are faithful in love for all people, offering the world salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space here at Parma Christian Church. You are welcome to join us each Sunday here on Facebook Live at 10:45 a.m. For any visitors who are joining with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our IT and videographer. And our elder for the day is Kim Wainwright. There are two items that I'd like to remind you of this morning as we worship together. The first is that we will celebrate Holy Communion with one another, as we believe that is an important part of our faith and spiritual life. We will gather together around our tables. Your table is an extension of Christ's table, and all are invited to participate. You may bring whatever you have at home, bread, cracker, juice, water, and use that so that you may celebrate Holy Communion with us. The second is offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and you may use our online giving tool that's found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 43 to 51. So in the Gospel of John, we find Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Just prior to our scripture today, Jesus has called Andrew and Peter to be his disciples. And so in today's story, we hear how Jesus calls Philip, and then Philip invites his friend Nathanael to join him on the journey. So hear now this story from God's holy word. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The first time that I ever went to Washington, D.C., I was a seventh grader, and I went on a trip with two of my classmates and friends and one of their parents. The four of us rode the train from North Carolina all the way to Union Station. And then we did lots of sightseeing, going to museums along the mall, touring the Capitol, and walking to all of the major monuments over the next few days. I remember being overwhelmed and amazed at the sight of it all, especially the Jefferson and the Lincoln memorials. Now, since that first trip, I've been to DC many times for different reasons. A few years later, I went with a nonpartisan political school club on a trip for a week. I also went and competed in a national high school competition. Then I went with a group of confirmation class students. When I was in college, we went to the Holocaust Museum. I went for the Women's March. And then most recently, I went on a family trip with Chris and our girls. Now, each time I have gone to DC, I've been able to see a monument, a museum, or another piece of history that I had not seen before. On our family trip that we took a couple years ago, I was able to add the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial and the National Museum of African American History and Culture to the list of places that have inspired and amazed me. Now, the day that we saw the King Memorial, it was one of those nice, beautiful spring days, blue sky, and the cherry blossoms were in full display. It was beautiful. It also happened to be the 50th anniversary of his assassination. A choir sang songs from the civil rights movement. Wreaths were laid out on display that had been placed there in his memory. And my heart was greatly moved at the witness of love and respect that was shown by all who were in attendance that day. Now, this past Friday, January 15th, would have been Martin Luther King's 92nd birthday. His was a life cut short, too short. He was a follower of God who preached the gospel in word and deed. He fought for justice for all people and sought to unite the country in a movement that moved us beyond racism, beyond Christian nationalism, beyond white supremacy, beyond hate and fear, to a country that truly believes and lives out the call to be a country where all people are created equal and can pursue life, liberty, and happiness. He lived a life of faith that personified the call of Christ every day. Now, our gospel story today tells us how Jesus began calling his disciples to follow him. Jesus begins sharing his good news and invites those who would hear him to follow him. Most of the call stories in the Bible begin with Jesus talking to different men who eventually become his disciples. Now, this story is a little bit different. Yes, it begins with Jesus calling Philip. But then Philip does exactly what the call is about. Philip calls and shares the good news about Jesus with Nathanael. Nathanael immediately dismisses Philip, immediately saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Yet he decides to go with Philip to meet this man. He was skeptical, but he went anyway. Now, when Nathanael and Jesus meet, Nathanael initially expresses his doubt, his skepticism, and Jesus is able to quickly dispel that doubt with knowledge about Nathanael that no one else knew. Their conversation convinces Nathanael that Jesus really is the Son of God, and Jesus issues that call to Nathanael as well. So at first, Jesus issues a call to Philip that leads to Nathanael coming to Christ. That is what evangelism, that is what being evangelical is all about. Now, I want you to think back with me and remember that when we first met Nathanael, he was very skeptical that anything good could come from Nazareth. For whatever reason, Nathanael believed the people of Nazareth were less than himself. This was because Nazareth was likely a town of farmers, shepherds, and laborers who were poor. There is evidence that the people of Nazareth lived in rudely constructed homes, or maybe even in limestone caves that are found in that area. This was the least expensive form of housing found in the time, so it was a sign of real and true poverty. So Nathanael saw the people of Nazareth as poor people who worked the most menial of jobs, and he was definitely biased and prejudiced against them. Yet Jesus does not hold that against Nathanael. Jesus instead reveals to Nathanael that even the Son of God can be found among the poor and the destitute. Jesus reveals God's truth and unconditional love to him. Jesus welcomes Nathanael with open arms and calls him to be a disciple. When we accept Jesus' call to be a disciple, we are also called to recognize our faults and our prejudice and work to overcome them. We are called to bear witness to God's unconditional love for all. We are called to live a life of faith that promotes the same values of love, compassion, mercy, and justice that Jesus taught and lived each day of his life. Accepting the call to be a disciple of Christ is more than just saying we believe in Jesus. It's more than just making that confession of faith. Accepting the call to be a disciple means actually embodying those beliefs in ways that enable us to be the very hands and feet of Christ in this world. Now, none of that is easy to do. We are human. We will and do make mistakes. We often hold grudges. We allow prejudice and hate to blind us. But as followers of Christ, we have to be willing to look deep inside ourselves to see those sins that live within us. We have to be willing to confess them each and every day. Through our confessions, we open ourselves up again to God's redeeming love, which is always present and always there for us, just waiting for us to accept it. As a nation, we have long been blinded by the sin of racism. In recent years, our collective sin of racism has allowed for hate groups and white supremacy to grow virtually unchecked until it has festered into this mess, this chaos, which has caused us to lose our way. Sure, we can lay the blame of the recent insurrection at the feet of some prominent politicians and possibly even the current president. I'm going to leave that up to those in higher positions of power than me to figure that out. But ultimately, that is not going to help us completely restore our country to a place of peace. That peace will come only once we do the work that God is calling us to do, which is to take a long, hard look at the way racism is at the heart of our issues. It is so deeply ingrained in the fabrics of our very beings in this country that a few quick words of forgiveness will not heal it. It will take a lot of work for us as a nation, as a people, to acknowledge that sin of racism. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. knew that it was a lot of work, And tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day that we remember and honor his work and his legacy. It is a day that many of us will look back on some of his greatest speeches and sermons and writings and remember how he constantly called us to examine ourselves, all while lifting up his dream of a country where all people have equal opportunities, no matter their skin color. His dream included the hope that one day black children and white children would be able to join hands as sisters and brothers. And his dream, while it is closer to reality today than it was 50 years ago, it has not yet been fully realized. His dream is no different than the dream that Jesus has for us. Jesus dreamed and worked hard and preached and taught about how we should bring the rich and the poor together. Jesus dreamed and worked for a time when Jews and Samaritans could live together in peace and harmony. Jesus dreamed and worked for a world where people genuinely cared for all of their neighbors, no matter who they were and what they looked like. That is the dream. That is what we are called to work for each day of our lives too. When we accept that call to come and see, just as Nathaniel did, we accept that call to work for a world that resembles the dreams and hopes of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther King Jr. accepted that call. Will you accept that call too? Amen.